No.
Okay. No.
Mr. President.
Oh, yeah, you had a, said you had a report from Hague, huh?
Yes, let me run it down for you. First, he reports that from all he has been able to learn, these strikes yesterday were enormously successful. Yeah. And he said multiple fires, highly successful, large and second, and so forth. That's a good thing. He can tell them to his parents that's talking.
Sure, let us, sure.
He discussed our general scheme with Bunker because he had to be informed in case anything blows. He's enthusiastic about the process. Then he said he spent an afternoon in third floor with General Hollingsworth, who's been holding together a most tenuous situation along the whole route of Route 13 from Lockwood to Lake. The only factor, or the principal factor, which has prevented a major debacle. As the USA, especially G-62, the situation in and around Anbar was far worse than I had anticipated. Three enemy units, main force units, reinforced by tanks and artillery, had been deployed against one of the armies we considered yesterday, Saturday, Sunday. The situation stabilized in and around Anbar. Now, yesterday was Saturday. Due to massive US air strikes and offensive reinforcements. And then he goes a little more into the tactical situation, saying that the enemy has now attached the 23rd Armored Division also. This division has been performing well, inflicting considerable punishment on the enemy. I spoke to their commander, who was very aggressive in his presence. General Mint, the 3rd Corps commander, is slow, unsure, and definitely not out of the attack. There's some very tough days ahead in 3rd Corps, but I believe Armored will hold, and that by the end of this month, the enemy will be driven out of the 3rd Corps with great loss. As of now, Hollingsworth estimates that the enemy has lost up to 50 tanks. There are many T-54s in this in the fixing. Yesterday, beleaguered forces in Anbar started destroying tanks with infantry and defense weapons. As a result, the morale of the garrison was to improve. Then, instant impressions confirm my overall air of confidence that Arvin, with our help, will weather what is very evident is a major northeast effort of the war. There are only a few signs of BC infrastructure viability, and all serious threats are coming from main forces. There's a spirit of nationalistic spirit evident, but I'm sure that the threats are to be easily upset by sentiment. And he goes, if he's back to tomorrow, he's that I could. And then a report of 4th Corps being in attempt on a field of because despite the heavy fighting of this 4th Corps, there's broad confidence that the situation back under control. In an interesting sidelight of Vietnamese survey team, was in Chongqing when the recent attack began, they found the public attitude was initially very pessimistic, in part because of the absence of any overt US support. Once US aircraft began to be seen, the attitude shifted markedly. All the Vietnamese interviews were encouraged about the massive US naval and air reinforcements. I believe the enemy has tested the earth. As of now, I believe we have a good basis for confidence. The situation is all together, but there may be some tough moments between now and the end of the month. Following this, we will have some rebuilding to do before the new enemy efforts perhaps in July. But the subsequent efforts would be far less virulent and should be easily contained. While the enemy has definitely heard, I believe we will start to go with the best long-term hope in the situation. So on, so forth.
Right.
I, at the same time, I'm convinced that you should proceed from a posture of confidence that the situation here will hold together for a long time. It has to be true during this next year. With the danger, with the greatest danger of continuity. So I think we are in a rather good position.
Yeah.
At that christening, which I attended, there were a large number of the different staff.
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty emotional, but on the whole, they don't know what to do. There is that virulence that we had after Cambodia.
They may be afraid that we know something.
David Bruce was there. He's been shot, tells the President Johnson, that he's the most courageous and
all right, the Burns was over, Rose said. She's going to listen to somebody. He was, he said that, no, he didn't get anything at all. So he was a terribly tough thing. He was, how much was risk? He personally felt, but an awful lot of people felt that this was the right thing. People were admired the fact that he's gone. We may get some benefit from that.
Right, no question, especially the Russians.
Of course.
The Russians were so, the Russians have already sent their navigator and pilot over here. And certainly not wasting any time surviving the night. Of course, he was just fast after him, the Russians.
I think the liberal establishment let all that matters is winning. We know one way or the other we're going to win. The question is losing at all. If the Arvin collapses, then we will still blockade.
I don't think we have to do that.
I think based on Hague's thing, that it's going to be rough. And if they aren't sure, we've been telling them third quarter. But based on that, we got to realize that the other side also is having some rough times.
Oh,
that's what I think. I just think that we've got to, we don't know, and I assume, as I've often said, that Abrams is using all that power over there that he can now in the battle zone. He will, won't he?
Oh, no question. There's no question.
He's got all this. You know, thank God he's got them there. He can send them out, huh?
Well, if it had to be for your reinforcement, Mr. President, we'd be in very bad shape. They're going to 800 sorties a day. And they were at 367 when we started the reporting.
Bound to have effect.
And it also gives them a hell of a lot more flexibility.
It also is good. The air can just be that bad. We know it's not very good, but they're just as we know, they hit some.
Well, the deepest tools must have been added to make them use the tactical land. The bond is something.
God damn it, the Israeli has changed their phantoms. We got plenty of phantoms, haven't we?
We have more fantasy, you know, three times the fantasy of Vietnam that the Israelis have.
Sure.
And they're all there for it. So far there has been actually much of a campaign out of Hanoi. We got to know delivered to the Chinese.
Boy, what you saying? And that is precisely what he was saying. What's that to him, wasn't
it? I checked it out.
Whatever they do, they've got to, and the Russians have got to support their ally, but I think for different reasons, neither of them wants us to want Hanoi to kick us out of there. What do you think?
Oh, no question. I mean, actually, for the business, the Russia wants to do that, that's really a mistake. We haven't extended their money.
What is the situation? You really feel that they are, just trying to see what our chips are, that they are really that interested in the German treaty, or maybe they even
more than
they are.
Mr. President, leaving aside the fact now from this last day, the fact that they want me to go there while we are at least substantially farming. In other words, if we weren't exactly scientifically living last week, last week at this time we were worrying whether monthly 50 food strike would be more than just our paper.
Yeah, just one, I mean.
And Dick Helms was telling me, this is just about the toughest message you can send to the Russians. It is that we were playing softly there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that was one decision I was very comfortable with, and we talked about it. But you see, that was the trouble with Johnson all along. He'd say, well, I can't do this or that or the other thing. But if you prick somebody, the thing to do is just get a sword out and cut his heart out. Why screw around? And believe me, we're doing that. We're going to give, after your meeting, you'll know. I'm pretty sure that you're, well, God, I don't mean to cancel. No. I just hope that it's not too indecisive. See, that's the only thing that concerns me about it.
But that's up to us. If it decides that we are over the thing.
Let me ask one last thing. How, and we can talk about this, two things in mind. First, that I think that we ought to have, I need to 2-3 hours to go over that whole thing with them, with you, before you go.
Extension.
Now, let's look at schedules in terms of when that can be done. I personally would like to do it by maybe go up to Camp David. That's all right. That's what a situation.
Monday night, I was going to have
a... Well, what about Tuesday?
Tuesday, we'll go up to deliver a message to the Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
Going. But,
well, we'll do it then. We can save time during the day. I'm going to be quite busy on this.
Well, I'd rather, Mr. President, I'm working like mad to get these things together. I've got my whole team drilling.
Right.
And I think it would be more worthwhile for you if I saw you any time from Tuesday noon on.
Yeah.
But then I'd have something I could go and show you.
Yeah.
And I will have all the decisions with you.
Well, let me put it this way.
Tuesday morning.
Suppose that we, I may probably go to Camp David Tuesday evening anyway. Suppose then you could come up Wednesday.
As I come back from the door, go straight up to Camp David.
Yeah, spend the night, and then the next day we'll just sit there in the quiet of that place. But I think we'll need to be totally by ourselves. Go over to
right, I think that would be nice.
So let's plan it. Shall I plan it for Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning.
We'll hold it for Wednesday morning. We'll be up there. Now, the other thing we've got to be thinking about is how to inform Roger. I don't know what you have any thoughts on.
My strong suggestion, Mr. President, is to let Hague and hold him to it on Thursday.
What do they tell him?
Let's tell him he's under suggestion.
Well, is there any possibility that it could be handled in terms of the Russians, that you're going there for the purpose of a meeting with the North Vietnamese?
But we'll have to bring it into the Vietnamese context.
You know what I meant? See what I'm getting at.
But that by Wednesday we will know whether it's going to be there or in Paris or anywhere.
But Thursday, you would wait as you left before he was told.
Yes, because he's going to drive you crazy if it's done before, and he will go to the Freeman before.
Yeah.
He'll call him in. This way he can't reach the Freeman.
No.
And he will be no matter one way or another.
He will simply handle it on the basis of the justice.
And
message from Brezhnev.
That's right.
Saying he wanted to help, wanted to talk about Vietnam.
And Haldeman can handle it much better together with Hague than alone,
right.
Because Hague will know the details. So
I think that's what they do, and if he's got it, he has to know in case it explodes, so he doesn't expect it to explode. And there isn't even a problem. Well, by that time, we'll know whether you're going to have a meeting in Paris or not. And the way I would fuzz the thing up, is to say that the Russians have decided to get to the act. They've asked you to come there. I discussed this matter, and the Norwegian fleet may be there. You see my point?
Exactly.
That's the way I would talk about it. See what I mean? That you're basically just a secret meeting, your tariff meeting. I think now we don't have to be totally forthright. You see my point?
Yeah.
How's that sound to you?
I think that
because it may be too. It may be that they will show.
Well, that's what it all we know. By that time, they may know.
Yeah. But even assuming you don't know, they could still show up.
Oh, definitely. If we don't know, if we haven't had an answer by Wednesday, then it is still open.
Right. We can just say that the Russians have flashed their name. Talk about Vietnam, America. And I privately have sent you there. Well, there also.
And I think Den Haag should give him a rundown on this whole private meeting.
Private meeting
that we were trying to set up in
Paris. Well, he didn't know that.
Because, as you remember, you had suggested we wait until you wanted to come.
Yeah. Said that we had, but we tried to set that up through our usual channels at Paris and hadn't, but nothing had come of it so far. But
then there are,
see, I have told that memorandum. Talking paper that he sent over to him, as I recall, does have. Remember, I told the leaders, I said, you can be confident that we have a good negotiating record since this one. So that's all for it. That'll sort of bear that out.
That's
okay.
Even a good friend of mine, I talked to him twice today.
Yeah. Did he get the paper yet?
Yeah, he got the paper.
Yeah, well, good. Now, I will, as far as you're concerned, obviously, remember, when will Haig get back?
Wednesday
afternoon. Then you would be leaving. You think it's better for us to talk on Wednesday afternoon? Better. Let me ask you this. Where do you want to leave from?
Well, I thought I would go. There's a dinner party here in town to which I thought I'd go because
I could.
Sure. Let's put some newspaper editing.
Right.
And I thought it'd be good if they saw me. Then
right.
I'd leave that dinner party, get dressed, go to the airport about that.
Good.
Then people will have seen me Wednesday night.
Thursday and Friday, everybody's out of town.
Well, if you could go to Key Biscayne Thursday night.
Well, I'll do one of them. I'll either go to Key Biscayne or I will go to Camp David.
Well, but if you at any rate could leave town, then I will cancel whatever I'm doing on Thursday night saying I'm with you.
That's right.
In fact, Camp David is even better than Christmas, right?
Well, Camp David, I think, has a certain advantage because I think I should be a little closer to the battle, you see. And nobody ever expects to see you outside of Camp David, see. And in Key Biscayne, they
would. You could say you are going to Camp David Thursday night
to do some work.
Then I would have the word put out that I'm going there Thursday morning.
You could say that you're going to Camp David and you're going to be in Camp David. And there's no way they can check that. See, in Key Biscayne, they can't. But here they can.
But that would be great.
How's that sound to you?
I think
and
so.
I'll just simply say Ziggler and the rest of the year can't be. Well, how can we see it? Of course they can't see it. You see, we don't let them inside the gate. Yeah, that's the beauty of Camp David. The perfect
that
color.
Would be great.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
That would be even better.
Ready?
But if you could leave Thursday night, it would have the advantage that I could cancel what I'm doing and say,
well, I am going up. See, I have the editors here for a reception Thursday at 5 o'clock. My intention after that reception at 7 o'clock to fly up to Camp David, see?
Right.
So I just left that very easy. That's not right.
That would be good.
All right. Okay.
Right.